This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you'd like to contact me, I'm going to give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. We do make CDs of this program available, and you can re-listen to the program on my website. My website has a weekly meditation you may be interested in. You might want to leave me prayer requests, and so you can contact me for any of this material either through the website or through my mailing address. And you may also want to give me your address so that I can send it on to Grace and Truth, a monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. The magazine is free. And if you would like to be on their subscription list, I'll send your name in to them. So you may want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my address down at the close of the program. Now today we've come to Acts chapter 7, and this is the chapter that deals with Stephen, who had been chosen to take care of the distributions of monies in chapter 6, had been one of the seven that were chosen for that, who also seemed to have the ability, had an ability as an evangelist. And so this is where Stephen is taken by false witnesses and is stoned to death because of his desire to spread the gospel and to promote the truth that Jesus Christ is the Old Testament prophesied Messiah, and that he had to die, he had to suffer before he could reign. Stephen had accepted Christ as his Savior. Stephen knew that the claims of Christ were real. Stephen had made the transition from the Jewish religion to being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish religion had become cold. It had become cruel. It had become self-centered. It had become hypocritical. But Stephen had found real truth, real love, real grace in the Lord Jesus. And now the proof is in the pudding. He's being standing before the Jews, and he's being accused unjustly, and he makes his defense in front of them. And as you look at this defense that he makes, I marvel at it because it is so straightforward, so honest, and some would say so unwise. If you're standing before your persecutors and you want to be and you don't want to die, you don't call them stiff-necked and uncircumcised, you don't say you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, but Stephen said those things because they needed to be said. And as I look at this passage, I ask myself, are we following the New Testament pattern in preaching the gospel? We don't want to tell people that they're rebelling against God. We don't want to tell religious people that religion does not save. We don't want to tell people that you can go to a church all your life and listen to its rituals, but you may not find the truth of the gospel there. We don't want to tell them that. We don't want to tell people that most religions serve man instead of serving God. And we don't tell people that there's a burning hell that they're going to end up in if they reject Christ. We don't tell people that today. And yet, are we loving them if we don't tell them that? No. It's like cancer. We're constantly bombarded with the warning signs of cancer, and sometimes I get upset because every time you see a little bruise or a little pimple or something on your body, you think you need to get it checked out, and it keeps you obsessed with it. And yet, those who tell us about the warning signs of cancer really are trying to tell us to be careful that there is a cure if it's caught early. And we who are truly saved should look at the preaching of sin and judgment the same way. If sin is caught early, that is, if it's caught in this life, there is a solution, and that solution is Christ. And Stephen was not afraid to preach to the point. He was not afraid to tell the Jewish people that they were rebelling against God. And so I don't know what your status is today, what your relationship with God is today, but I don't want you to find me unloving. I don't want you to find me uncaring, but I want you to find that what I preach on this program is, in fact, the very truth that God preaches in His Bible. And I hope that I never be put in the position Stephen was in, where I have to face a religious crowd that is cruel, and that I have to be martyred because of my beliefs. I hope that never happens. But if it should happen, I hope I can be as faithful as Stephen was. Now, I'm not going to read all of Acts chapter 7, but I'm going to read portions from it, and I hope you'll take time to go back and read it, because it's an overview of the history of Israel. And if you read Acts chapter 7 and then go back and read, for example, the book of Exodus, you'll begin to get an understanding of what those books are all about, and Acts chapter 7 is going to give you the keys to understanding what God is trying to present to us in the Old Testament. And so in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, we read this: "And the patriarchs, becoming envious," that is, the 12 sons of Jacob, who were called the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his troubles, and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and over all his house. Now, we can see that there was envy on the part of Joseph's brethren, just as there was envy on the part of the chief priests and scribes who crucified the Lord. Pilate knew that it was for envy that they had delivered him, and envy is a great sin and leads us into great sins. So not only do we see envy in the relationship of the religious leaders to those who want to do right, in Acts 7 and verse 35, we see rejection. And we see that then in the history of Israel through Moses. "This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush." And so Moses is a picture of Christ. He's an intercessor. He's one who pleaded for the people. He led them out of bondage, and he brought them into the promised land. He told them how to worship God, and he's a picture of Christ. And just as Moses was rejected, Christ was rejected. Rejection is always difficult, but we can see that those who want to follow the Lord Jesus are going to feel that they are rejected, often by people who say they are religious, who say they are following God. Usually they don't say they're following the Lord Jesus, because saying you're following the Lord Jesus means that you might have a love for the Lord Jesus, but people say they're following God, and it's kind of a generic thing, and it's a thing without love often. So just as Moses was rejected, the Lord was rejected, and now Stephen is being rejected as well. Then we find out that the people of God turned to idolatry, and that's Acts 7 and verse 39, "whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected, and in their heart they turned back to Egypt." And that's talking again about Moses. "Saying to Aaron," this is Moses' brother, "make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Now, Moses is in the mountain. He's receiving the Ten Commandments. He's receiving the law, so they know how to worship God. And while he's up in the mountain, "they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands." And isn't it interesting that men would rather trust in what they make than in what God has made? They would rather trust in their own works than in the work of Christ. And that's the same as it is. This is a picture of our own day. You'll notice that when Moses is in the mountain, that's a picture of Christ having ascended into heaven. And while he's up there for 40 days and 40 nights, that's a picture of a time of testing in the Bible. And our Savior has been in heaven now for nearly 2,000 years. It's not 40 days and 40 nights. But the 40 days and 40 nights is a picture of this time of the Lord's absence and of the testing time that we are in. And the question is, are we going to be faithful just because we can't see the Lord, and even though He's made us the promise that He's coming again? And so, no, they wanted something that would represent God, and they made Him a golden calf, and they said that that was the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, and God said it was an idol. He could not be represented by a golden calf. Calves were what they had traditionally worshipped God with. But the calf was not God. And it's sort of like taking the Lord's Supper. And instead of the Lord's Supper being a symbol of what we believe, a symbol, the bread and the wine being a symbol of the body and blood of the Lord, we make the Lord's Supper into a sacrament that will save us. We worship the Lord's Supper rather than the Savior that the Lord's Supper represents. We can be just like these people. And so they turned to idolatry, and they were rebelling against God. And then in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, we find that Stephen says things that I don't think I would have had the courage to say. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." Now, they were circumcised physically. They had gone through the rituals of the Jewish religion. They had cut off their foreskins, and this was a picture of cutting off the flesh. And so they had the formalities of a covenant relationship with God, but they didn't have faith or trust or a true attitude of worship that a person who has repented and believed should have. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Now, obviously, what he's saying is the Lord sent you a deliverer in Joshua. You resisted him. The Lord sent you a deliverer in Moses, and you resisted him. The Lord sent you a deliverer in Christ, and you've resisted him. And here I am telling you about deliverance, and you're resisting me. And do you think they're going to stand for this? No, they're going to show Stephen, who's boss. He says, "Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." And so he's not letting them off the hook. These were the very people who apparently were involved in crucifying the Lord. "You have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." Now, he's pointing out that they are a rebellious people, and that as a rebellious people, they're going to be destroyed. And yet, they think that by destroying Stephen, they can destroy the message, and they can prove that Stephen really doesn't know what he's talking about. Friend, how often do we get things turned around like this? The Lord says, we live by dying. That is, once we die to everything we thought was right and all of our earthly ambitions, then we can submit ourselves to God and we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we can really live. We aren't ready to live until we are prepared to die, and we aren't prepared to die until we know Christ as our own personal Savior. And so, friend, today, I hope this issue has been settled in your mind, and that you're not one of those religious people who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised, resisting the Holy Spirit. You're bowing to what God says in the Bible, and that you've trusted in the Savior. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask Thee to bless our lesson. We ask You to bless all who have listened, and any needs amongst us. We trust that You'll remember those needs. We just thank Thee for Thy love and commit the program to Thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.